You're listening to Drake in the Morning
with Danny, Wes, and Sid
on 98.1 The Max.
Hurricane, whatever it was, Hurricane Ike.
Hurricane Little Elvis.
Whatever the hell it was. It has wreaked havoc that remains for many people. And I can't imagine people that don't have patience how they're handling this. But you don't have any choice sometimes, so you adapt. We all adapt to whatever we're exposed to and have no, there's no way out. 22,000 people without power still. It was 35,000 yesterday, 188 at the top of this whole thing. So they are making progress, and probably some very tired men are at work on this. So you should be thanking them and the other folks who have come to town to help them with this ongoing mess. These crews are working around the clock. They're having to dig new holes, put in new stuff. It all got just wiped out. That, not to mention, along with all the streetlights and such. So it gets better, but it's still the same overall lack of power, lack of streetlights, some bad places where trees are down. And so the whole thing is being cleaned up, but it takes time. By this time next week, and this is likely what you don't want to hear, this will all be fixed. Most, that's what they say, 7 days from yesterday. So you may have this lack of power problem for a bit longer. This was a major storm, and these things happen around here, and it takes time for you to gather the severity of what went down. Everybody, I think, now understands. So if you're out there with no power and have a cooler with your food and stuff in it, it sucks, and we're sorry for you and hope that this all gets better.
Yes.
I wonder if you're in a hotel, if your insurance company pays for it.
I wouldn't bet on it.
I kind of wonder. If you have a family and two or three kids and a dog and a cat and no real family here in town or real friends, and if you're staying with them, they are real friends. But I guess these hotels are probably full from here to goodness knows where. But anyway, it's a challenge. We've all been through it, so we wish you some peace of mind here before too long.
You know, I want to add on the resource list on Channel 5 that I've been updating on our site every day for just help. It says some insurance companies will cover the loss of your food. Your food's spoiled because of the power outage, so
you probably have to prove that. I hope that they are that compassionate. I would be surprised if they were, but maybe they are that compassionate. So keep a list and take a picture of that rotted cheese, and they'll give you back the 49 cents you paid for it. Or what it's, I don't know. Here are the stories that relate to that and to other things in Memphis on this Friday morning. Duracell is passing out batteries and flashlights to storm victims. They were over in Fraser yesterday. They'll be in Fraser today and in Memphis throughout most of the week to help out anybody with no light that needs flashlights. To learn more about the Duracell Power Forward program, go to Duracell.com. This is a long address, so just try there, Duracell.com. I'll have Sid put this up on the Facebook page and our website because it's a real long
address. There's like three subheadings.
Yeah, it's unnecessary. Down. But they're trying to help, so thank you, Duracell. The Meal Pack Challenge at the FedEx Forum, aiming to feed the hungry. Volunteers encouraged to help feed those in need this weekend. It's tomorrow from 8 a.m. to 4:30 p.m. at the FedEx Forum. 90-minute shifts for those that want to show up. The Mid-South Food Bank, obviously in great need, non-perishable food. You know what that means. It means peanut butter and canned food and things like that that won't rot. Volunteers will pack 500,000 meals for seniors. And as folks get older, they are alone sometimes and they have no way to get around. They have less food. They can't go to the store. So this is aimed at the older folks and those who are in need. And yes, people do sometimes need help. 10 million adults aged 50 years and older live below the poverty line with an annual income less than $10,000. And Memphis has a bunch of those. So they're trying to pack 3 million meals for older adults in need. They need the support of the entire community to help provide food for hungry neighbors. So if you want to help with this, we'll add this to our Facebook page too and the website, event.com/events. And this goes on for 3 weeks. It's way too long, but it's event.com. And perhaps more info at the FedEx Forum site as well. So those are the people trying to help during this troubled time, which has just been a mess for a lot of people. And we feel your pain. And today, Taryn Arwood, who is the president of Woodland Tree, will come by here. He had a good email about all these trees that are downed, and just advice for people that think because you have a chainsaw, you're a tree dude. It's dangerous, and you need to know what you're doing. Taryn will come by and kind of offer some tips. There was one yesterday from somebody about you've got to check your trees. And if they're dead or if limbs are dead, they are going to be the ones that go first because they get older and they get lighter and they hollow out. And one straight line wind just takes them right down. So Taryn will come out today to offer us some advice on this. He is a trained arborist, a scientist, a whatever he is, not some guy with a chainsaw that wants to take your money and then run. And you're being warned about that again, too. These guys going door to door that seem semi-official and want your business and they want your money and they don't do anything and they bail. Plus, as usual, the classiness of home looting and clothing and furniture being stolen out of houses. It's just ridiculous to watch this. But everyone's trying. The MPD is focusing on the spots that have the worst outages. That would be Fraser, I guess, parts of Midtown. But the MPD is doing their best to protect and serve and take care of those who need some help. Another fun story about scandal and corruption. And guess where it comes from? The Shelby County school system. I'm still not clear on all of this.
This is complicated.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, this involves, you know, when your life is based around, and all of our lives are based around results at your job. If you are in sales, your job is based around your sales, right, and your commission that you make from that. If you're involved in broadcasting, your job and your bonuses and your pay are based around how you perform and the ratings that you get. Everybody's job, from sports to this nonsense, you are judged and rated and you get, you know, points for doing well. What we have done to the schools of America is a damn shame, because these teachers are being judged sometimes unfairly on the grades that the kids in their classes come up with. They're working with a shortage of any assistance, a shortage of supplies. Not every kid is a genius. And so it is incumbent upon them to do all they can to produce at the end of the year these grades that make them more money, help them keep their job. This helps the state get more funding from the government, and so on and so on and so on. So it's no surprise that trickery and, well, cheating. This comes up every year about how these grades are being changed and altered and all that stuff. And it's so this grading scandal at Tresvant High reared its head yesterday. Ronnie Mackin, I guess, who was the principal, sent a note to Dorsey Hobson, who has just had his contract renewed. I bet he's real tickled about that now. Said he was brought in to be a scapegoat for corrupt, illegal, and unethical activities by the staff of the district. His car was vandalized, threat to his family. I don't know if this was by parents saying, "You better pass my son or I'm going to kick your ass." There's a bunch of student athletes that came out of this school, now enrolled in colleges and such, who had not passing grades, and we're just allowed to drift on through and play football on Friday night and then go on to college somewhere where they still can't read, but boy, they sure can run fast. So our priorities are, as usual, in order. The football coach, Telly White, was suspended. This goes on and on and on. And didn't it somehow involve some sexual indiscretion as well?
I remember. I don't know if it's related to the events at Tresvant or at some other school.
Yeah, I didn't see any of that.
But it's not in. There's not anything relating to that in this story.
Well, there ought to be. Why not? Just endless corruption and screwing. You know, F the education. Who needs it?
Well, it makes for a better story.
Yeah, it makes for a much, much more fun story. The problem with the need for sarcasm and being a wise guy is because this happens endlessly, every year. They put so much pressure on these teachers and on these kids to produce and principals, and the results they expect are damn near impossible to achieve based upon many, many things. So now this guy from Tresvant
is saying all this.
I mean, I wonder if it's sour grapes. Did he get a raw deal?
Well, that's the other part. The other part of the story is that SES says that he had asked for 2 years of severance pay,
right,
and he hasn't named names or provided facts for anything that's not already under investigation.
So he asked.
So who's right?
So he asked for blackmail money.
It could be interpreted that way.
But if you work at a school like that in the inner city, I don't know if you're going to jump to name names because somebody may come after you. I don't know.
Well, that
you know.
And they did. And his car was vandalized, as I mentioned, and. There were threats to his family and things like that. So that may be in part why he wanted out and wanted 2 years' pay just to bail because he was in fear for his life. Or is that being over-dramatized as well? Anyway, it's one more ugly mark on the school system that doesn't need any more ugly marks. The system cost this city $1 billion. And this kind of crap here, these people are trying to survive, and they end up doing things like this in survival mode, and sometimes, well, almost every time, they get caught. And so that's that story. So watch Tresvant, or don't. But many of you may have kids that go there. I don't know, but they're changing grades,
right?
And the timeless tale of athletes being allowed to just skate on through because, hey, who cares if they can add 4 and 4? They can sure catch a pass and throw a ball 80 yards in the air. That's all you need to know about. Downtown this weekend, new parking meter changes go into effect. I've been downtown a bunch of times in my life. In the evening, not recently, but over the years, I have never found a parking meter, a spot open downtown, ever.
Really?
I don't think so.
Huh.
On Thursday, the city's new parking meter changes went into effect. It's now $1.50 an hour to park, up from $1.25. So if you don't have an extra quarter, stay home.
Well, they take cards.
They're disagreeing with. Well, so the meters aren't meters like they used to be?
No, they've changed most of them to where they will take a card.
Oh, no, the parking lots will. I know that. I did that one time down by the Orpheum, and it didn't work, and that sucked. Because it was $20 on a Sunday afternoon. Appreciate it. There's a 2-hour time limit during the week and 4 hours on Saturdays. I don't know. They've upped it a little bit. If you're going downtown, you likely won't even notice it or think about it. If it's $1.50 or it's just read what it says and just blindly toss your debit card in there. What could happen?
Sure.
Nothing. Here is a piece about summer driving. I heard a stat last night that kind of gives you pause that during the summertime, that accidents and deaths and such in traffic go up substantially. I mean, way, way up. Because kids are out of school, and it isn't always just the kids. But these youngsters cannot put the phone down, nor can their parents. And there are more wrecks because of speeding. They're not paying attention. They're playing with stuff. They don't wear seatbelts because they're bulletproof at 18, and they cannot be injured, so they end up in a mess. So they are cautioning folk to be aware. Now, this summer, folks are traveling as usual, And now there's a new thing from TDOT, which I guess is a good idea. I don't know. It's called the yellow dot. Anybody can put this sticker in their car window, alerting first responders to check the car for a medical information sheet. Well, I suppose that's a good idea if you have certain conditions.
Yeah.
The responders will see that yellow dot in your windshield, in your rear window, and they'll go to your glove box and pull the card out and see what kind of vitals they should check to see if you're okay based upon the situation. They say that it does save lives. Well, that's obviously good. The folder contains info about your history and more. The Yellow Dot program is free. The question is, how many people will follow through on this and you know, do it? And I wonder about that.
Well,
the older folks who have issues may want to consider that. If you have a bad heart, if you have things like that that need attention, this seems to be a pretty good idea. The website is, again, way too long. TN.gov/TDOT. Start there if you care to get one of these for your, you know, if your parents are a bit older or your grandparents, or if you have a special need, they can help you with this, and this is a pretty nice touch.
Or you can Google TDOT yellow dot and get a link that goes right to it.
Okay, perfect.
Yeah.
Other things that you're going to have to read for yourself and make your own decisions. Some of these things that go on, and I spent time last night in an effort to educate myself, because we have a real lack in this country of people that go in search of facts. They hear something on the TV and or from some politician or the president and take it as gospel. And anybody that looks deeper into it and tries to find facts is a damn liberal and hates America. The situation with Mr. Trump pulling out of the Paris Agreement has got a lot of people, and not the usual bleeding heart liberals that holler about everything. There are a number of people very unhappy about this. This happened yesterday. There are 195 countries in this agreement. The only two that aren't of any substance are Syria and Nigeria. China, Russia, the U.S., anybody of any major importance, all of our allies, became a part of this several years ago. Here is what, and I bet you a dollar, that if you got 20 folks off the street and asked them, what is the Paris Climate Agreement, they would have no idea. The gist of it is that countries agree to work together toward keeping the global average temperature from rising 3.6 degrees over the pre-industrial average, at which point scientists from around the world and people from NASA, that's a part of your U.S. government, believe that the effects of climate change will be irreversible if we do not maintain this. So Mr. Trump decided, based upon his own facts, it seems to me, his own need to be defiant and flex his muscle against the advice of a number of people on his staff, his daughter especially. Ivanka, it is said, begged him to not do this. But he canceled the entire thing and pulled out, which unleashed a stream of revolt unlike he has seen so far. Bob Iger, who is the CEO president of Disney, has withdrawn from the advisory board. He's known Trump forever. He's out. Elon Musk, the internationally wealthy inventor and wunderkind, he's out. The GE guy, he's out. The gentleman from Goldman Sachs, who has never before done a tweet in his life, his name is Lloyd Blankfein, sent his first tweet ever yesterday to criticize and condemn Trump's move to back out of the Paris Climate Pact. Today is a setback for the environment and U.S. And for our position in the world. That's a pretty heavy thing for a guy at Goldman Sachs, a very, very powerful Wall Street entity And you got guys like him. And you had over 60 mayors in this country who are going to have the who have said, we don't care what he says, we're going to keep on trying to help the environment and all that stuff. You have governors from California to New York saying this is ridiculous. It is embarrassing and insane. It's a complex thing, and it always has been. There are some people that just because Fox News or Mr. Trump or the extremists among us say that it's a hoax, they believe it. It's sad to live your life that way. These things are not made up. The issues we have that have been pointed out by several people, would you live today, let's say you live down in Senatobia or in Walls or in Bartlett, everything seems fine to you. You don't see anything in decline. You don't see anything that makes you think, oh my God, we're going to all die this weekend. This happens over time. Global warming was a really bad phrase to attach to this because people don't stop and think what the word global means. It means the globe, the entire planet, not what's happening in your front yard. The other issue is that we, as human beings, adapt to things that we see. And so right now, all I can see out there are some pretty green trees and the flowers are growing and there's nothing wrong.
So everything's fine.
When you have scientists from all over the country, from this country and everybody in the world, China and Russia and England, who have spent hours upon hours researching this and watching all these things decline, there is some kind of stigma attached to this concept that people just don't believe, even though NASA and people from the EPA, this is your government at work and the world's governments and scientists at work who have deduced together 195 countries that we need to work on this for the future of this planet. This doesn't mean me and you. This means our children and their children. This story here, there's one of the biggest icebergs in Antarctica. It's 125 miles long. It is cracked, and it keeps cracking 10 miles over 6 days. What this means, to simplify it, is as these things crack and melt and drift away, the oceans rise. And predictions are for places like Manhattan, Miami, and New Orleans that eventually, it may be 20 years, it may be 30 years, they're going to be underwater. That's just one of the things.
And even if you're one of the people who say that humanity's effect on climate change is not any significant effect whatsoever, there's still plenty of evidence that climate change is happening. Even if it's a natural thing, a natural cycle of the Earth, doesn't it make sense to take steps to not make it worse by what humanity's doing?
Exactly.
And take steps to prepare for what nature's cycle is going to do?
Exactly right, and very well said. Even if you don't buy the fact that this is man-made, which it is in part, the Earth and nature and things, it goes through cycles. Well, it's on a bad, bad downward cycle now. But the human nature, I think, and just the human response is to, if it doesn't affect me, why the hell should I care?
Right. Why should I be inconvenienced in any way, shape, or form?
Yeah. But that's why we have recycling. And so the point is that Mr. Trump is convinced that he knows pretty much about everything. And my feelings about this whole thing, I just really have, as have many of you, I'm trying to not get emotionally involved in it. It's just an ill-advised way to do business with the world and the future and your country. And when you got, if there were people that were just all on board with this, if Paul Ryan and Mitch McConnell and John McCain and the elders and the people in the GOP that are supposed to be behind him. We're all shouting it out to the, you know, from the rooftops. Yay, way to go, Donnie Mayor. They're not. You got mayors and governors saying, I don't care what he says, it is incumbent upon us now to make efforts to do what we can in our states and cities to keep this place afloat. And this is a big picture concept. We are so eaten up with the idea of immediacy. If it didn't happen now, they were cool. If it starts to rain blood on Sunday or, you know, green stuff, we may have an issue. It probably won't. But the other effects that make you kind of, I don't know, concerned is the way that the world is looking at the good old USA. And that is becoming, I think, an issue for people who are concerned about this country, like Bob Iger from Disney, like Elon Musk, like the guy from Goldman Sachs, and a litany of other people who think this was a really stupid move. But he's the president, and
he can do it.
And he really likes to remind people of that. And maybe there's something here that we're missing. I don't know what it would be. There were some other little things here briefly. Somebody called it this thing our nation's dumbest act since launching the war in Iraq. Other writers and observers and scientists, the absolute nonsense on this move. Elon Musk, he's out. So people, I suppose, it is on you now to do what you want. And maybe there will be something on the other side of this that proves this man right.
Yeah.
But 195 countries, they can't agree on anything. But now it's 194 because we bailed. And people look to this country for guidance and leadership and all of these things that are seemingly teetering on the edge. And one of the problems, you know, a person in charge of anything, the boss, the manager, the president, you need people around you to keep you in check. Every president, Ron Reagan had James Baker, who was a brilliant man who helped Mr. Reagan through some really tough times. Every U.S. president has a chief of staff, a guy that he can consult and talk to heart, what do you think? You know, Jack Kennedy had his brother, and Bobby and he had fights about things over and over again. Every president has people that look for compromises and ways to get around things without making these dramatic, power-trippy kind of moves. And his family, Miss Ivanka, his daughter who he dotes on, she begged him to not do this. So you make your own decision. It's not, it isn't on the place. It isn't the place of some radio show to make you do anything. If you want to throw bags of crap out in the street and just, you know, screw it. Who cares? You'll be dead soon. So why bother? The problem, though, is that your kids and grandkids hopefully won't be. And this is not going to be a thing that you see happen this year or next year. But check the Memphis. Going back, 6 years? The average temperature here gets warmer and warmer every year. It's a small thing. We have less and less of a winter every year. The severity of our storms every year. Forest fires on the West Coast. Drought. All of these things have always been in play throughout history. But they are more prevalent now than they ever have been. And yes, there is more media to cover them. But nonetheless, the facts are the facts. But we have lost our way when it comes to facts. Ideology trumps facts, pun intended. So it's your call. But it is, unfortunately, it is what it is. And you can't do dick about it, except when it comes time to vote again, you got to express yourself. But there's a bunch of stuff going to be a fallout from this, from mayors and governors and all this stuff. So, you know, once again, that's the end of, there's no point to beat this to death because the other media will do it today and all weekend for you. It's already being done.
And there'll be plenty to support whatever ideology you have.
Oh, already. Yeah. Oh, Christ. The opining about this. But, you know, there really are experts and scientists in the world. People that are doctors. People that save your life. People that can fix your heart. People that can fix cancer. These people are not a bunch of guys that just dropped off a bus someplace and said climate change is real. Things are evolving and changing. And
if you're telling us to read Trump's speech, well, we did, and you might want to go and read the fact check people on Trump's speech.
Yeah, and that's one of the things that is the most frustrating, is that most people who hear this show think, oh, no, screw you. He's right. He's the man. He's playing to his base, and they're still hanging in there. And he could tell them that red is blue, and they'd believe it. They won't go look at the facts, and the facts are right there, and he's been fact-checked by how many different people now? Tons.
Yes.
About all this job stuff and loss of money. It's complete baloney. He just making stuff up is how these people roll up there now. So good luck today. Hopefully, you'll be safe and the world will be safe. And we'll see. It'll all work itself out. It always does. The stock market was way up at an all-time high yesterday. Hey, there's some good news.
All right.
If you have some money invested. So it's always something. And and it's that today. And come Monday, it'll be something else. So don't get too worried about it. The spelling bee has come and gone. Somebody won.
Yes.
We'll tell you who she is. Okay. Tequila is good for you. And there was a really bad basketball game blowout last night. We'll cover that too. We'll come back in a minute. Any emails you want to do, knock yourself out. Mail at drakeinthemorning.com. We'll check that and the sports of the weekend. Not too much going on there. And dumbasses and all these fun things and tickets to see Guns N' Roses. All this coming up shortly.
Email us anytime at mail@drakeinthemorning.com.